Welcome to the University of the Free State Career Services podcast, where we talk to experts about the ins and outs of jobs and share tips that will give you a grip on your future career.
There are many challenges that we encounter as young adults in this country. Unemployment, startup debt, mental health, and academic pressure. These feelings could easily leave one feeling inadequate. But there are individuals who walk amongst us who instill hope and individuals who empower us with their works. I call these people the gifts that keep on giving. My guest today is an institutional researcher currently serving as an assistant director of monitoring and institutional research at the UFS. She is also involved in grooming young leaders in the Young African Leaders Initiative by facilitating the Public Management and Governance Program. On top of that, she has a self-titled YouTube channel. Okay, we have an influence on our hands that focuses on lessons tailored to high school learners and offers tips for university students. She was a recipient of the Mail and Guardian Top 200 Young South Africans for the contribution that she has instilled, or put rather, in education. Please help me welcome this highly acclaimed lady, Dr. Lequita Maaka.
Thank you so much for having me.
So when I was reading your bio, it is so extensive. You have done so much for education in our country and also in our institution. I'd like to know a little bit about why you started to go on this journey, how the journey went, and how you ended up being the assistant director at the University of the Free State.
There was no formula, right? I can't say this is how I ended up, but all I can say is hard work, and I can say my background played a huge role. Starting taking care of my younger sister, who's 6 years younger than me, at the age of eight, she was two then. So I was given that responsibility, and I had to, every chance that I get, every opportunity that I get, I just grab the opportunity and run with it. So there was, I can't say there's a formula to it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Were you always wanted to be in higher education or in education in any form?
No. As much as I felt like that natural inclination towards teaching, recognizing its profound impact on other people and also shaping lives of other people, the passion actually led me to pursue agricultural extension, which is more of agricultural education. Then that's where the love for education came. Mm. Then I started in basic education. That's why even today I still do the lessons for agricultural sciences, natural sciences, and life sciences for high school learners, because I created that bond with them and I got to learn the impact it has towards them. Then I shifted to higher education, which even today, that one, it makes me sleep well at night, because I know at least there is something that I'm doing, not for myself, but someone else out there. So it has been that education has been that driving force. And I think when you grow up in a disadvantaged background, not only you want to prove yourself, but also to advise or to remind those who are still there that it can happen. Mm. And you don't have to have all the money in the world. Opportunities will come the way they will come.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm hearing now that you're saying the bond and attachment that you had with your students and learners, the people that you helped along the way, is the one that helped you direct you into the journey that you're on right now in higher education, or in education in general. But now, if you weren't an educator or working in higher education, what else would you be doing?
I'd be a housewife. I'm joking.
Really?
as I have said that I've always loved teaching. I've always imagined myself in the medical field. driven by the same desire to actually help others. Despite that initial aspiration, though, to become a doctor, my journey took a different turn due to challenges to mathematics. My maths was not matching, and nevertheless, I still find contentment in my current role.
Yes.
Yeah.
You say you sleep well at night.
I sleep well, knowing that I continue to inspire others and to impact students' lives, because for me that's what it's all about. And when I joined the higher education sector, I said I want to continue impacting students' lives, be it directly or indirectly. And now I'm doing it indirectly because I'm at the back end. So, but yeah, just to continue be that person who, even if it's just one student at a time, I'm fine.
Yes. The way you're speaking, I can tell there were probably so many fulfilling moments that you encountered with so many people and so many students. I'd like to know at least one that actually stood out for you, where you said, this is worth everything. What was that moment for you?
I can say the day when I started in the current role that I'm in, as an assistant director. It was just 1 month before I turned 29. Now I'm revealing my age, but it's fine. As nervous as I was, I told myself it was just the culmination of the years of hard work. And also determination. Stepping into that role actually felt like the validation of my skills and also the capabilities that I have. I'm still young, but I feel I've experienced a lot. Remember, I told you that from the age of 8, I had to take care of a 2-year-old. But that is a story for another day. We can spend the whole day discussing that. But those are issues that I understand that some of the students have encountered. And some people, they discourage them to say, okay, I can't find myself there. But that day for me was something else. And the team actually welcomed me with open arms, and I was entrusted with big responsibilities, significant responsibilities. And I never felt that I'm young from that day. And it was that thrilling blend of excitement and nervousness, but it actually marked the beginning of a new chapter in my career, and one that even today I'm still eager to embrace and excel in it.
This career that or this position that made you grow from a young girl to a woman.
Definitely, yes. Within a very short space of time.
And it probably came with challenges.
It does.
A lot of challenges.
It does.
Can you please share some of those challenges with us?
One thing that always come to me is that you cannot solve all the problems. The challenges that we encounter, especially in the role that I'm in, one, the challenges are not yours. And some are inspired by national issues. So there's a lot that one has to understand and not attach your feelings sometimes to them, but also think critically and put yourselves in the shoes of the people you are trying to solve the problems for. Because we assist with decision making, but that decision making has to be backed up by evidence. So that's why we have to go to the ground, do surveys to the students, the staff and everyone, so that when we say this is what is happening, we have that evidence. It's not always rosy, but the evidence helps us, because if one wants to challenge it, like, this is what the people are saying. So it has its challenges, but I think all roles have that.
That's true. Everything in this world has its challenges. So now, for someone who doesn't know what an assistant director of monitoring and institutional research does, what would be the one secret you tell them that they don't know about your job?
I basically conduct research institutional research, not only for students, but for everyone in the institution. The culture of the institution, basically everything. When we're talking of Vision 130, then we have to know that from the back of our heads, what are the prospects when we are expecting this number of students that will be enrolled. We need to justify why there needs to be so many students, why so many postgraduates, why so many undergrads when it comes to challenges that are faced by staff members. We need to advise, so where are these challenges coming from? So those are the kind of research that we do. So it's basically just institutional research at large. What is happening in the institution? What should happen? Looking at foresight in the next 5 years, predicting what can happen before the year starts, predicting what can happen when it's graduation time. It's all about the institution, how the institution operates and how it should operate, what is happening internally, what is happening nationally and globally, what are the trends in teaching and learning, what are the trends in higher education at large.
Are students privy to this information, or is it for certain stakeholders in the university?
No, the information is available to everyone.
Where can they find it?
The DIRAP website has some of the information. However, they are free to contact our department
if they want to know anything.
Definitely.
Our institute, that's
definitely
good.
Definitely. Good. So we do get requests for information. For example, there's a request I got yesterday for someone who's working on language. So they wanted to know the profile of the students as well as staff in terms of language. So that is the privilege that we have. We know everyone who's here. Who's here, how old are they, and everything like that. So that has an impact on the profile of the institution and also on the decisions that are made and the influences within the institution.
Now, my final question for you is, what would be your parting words for a student who wants to follow in your footsteps?
You know, growing up, my second father, who's my father's brother, yes, we all call them dad, Bambuhlanga, Ujama, Kamaka, instilled in me a habit of learning from every situation. He would ask, what did you learn? Now, even on unseemingly related events like funerals, and I'd be like, Aibonjani. we were just attending a funeral and you are asking, what did I learn? Initially, I found that puzzling, but it taught me to extract wisdom from every interaction, every circumstance. And now that mindset of curiosity, always seeking knowledge. I think someone who is listening to us right now, who wants to be here or who wants to find themselves as a researcher, that is very important, because with every interaction, even if it's 5 minutes with that person, you need to pick up something from them. And it helps you now when you're doing your job as a researcher to always have that mind, no man, this person said this. And then you critically analyze that. So that lesson for me, even today, it actually helps me to go out to other people, mentors, even my peers, to learn from them, to allow them to challenge me, to be inspired, you know, fostering that environment of curiosity, you know. And if you are in higher education, if you are a student, be it you are in basic education or higher education, you need to be curious. You need to know what is happening. When the students are striking, you need to know why they are striking. We're not saying they should, but you need to understand the problems that led to that. And it doesn't have to be in your institution, but even in other institutions. So I'd encourage everyone who's listening to just have that spirit of learning in every situation. Be curious about everything and just ask yourself, what should I learn in this circumstance now? What am I learning? And that will always help you to reflect and also increase your knowledge bank.
Yes, and students are in the most wonderful place in the world to be curious to learn.
True.
You come to your course, you're not there to just to get what you need to go to go. But if you are curious, you learn more from the surroundings and also what is in front of you.
That's true.
Thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank you.
It was so fruitful for me.
Thank you.
And it'll be fruitful for our listeners, but I have one more game to play with you, right?
Okay.
So this is called the fire questions.
Uh-huh.
It's a fire round. I'm going to ask you quick questions, and I don't want you to think about it too long. 2 seconds. Give me your answers. If you do, I'll move on.
So you okay.
Do. Are you ready for our fire questions?
Fire away.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Sweet or salty?
Both.
Remote or on-site?
Both.
Every morning,
I need to defrost at least for 30 minutes, reflect on what happened the previous day and the lessons learned on that day, and just to motivate myself to go out there, do my best, do my duty to God, my country, my ancestors, and just be a kind person.
All right. My favorite word is?
Makokanye, literally meaning let there be light.
Oh, amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I like the defrosting. We all need 30 minutes in the morning.
We do.
We all do.
Thank you
so much for sharing this conversation with us. You're with gems of wisdom with our listeners. May you please enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you so much.
That's it for now. Listen to all our episodes to make sure that you get into the fast lane of career success.